everybody. Welcome to Take 233, Take 233. This is our Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 review. We're going to do our MCU tier rankings. We have four tiers, and we're going to plug in all 32 movies that have been released. 32. Whew, that's a lot. 32, some good, some bad, and some spoiled, and some one is the tier. One is the top that we're going to collaborate and brainstorm together. So buckle
it's
up.
Greatest category yet.
Oh yeah. We might actually have to start including this category when we rank movies.
I know. That's actually exactly what I thought too.
So we'll reveal that our four tiers. The normal rundown, we're going to go through fave trailer and some movie news. There's been some really good trailers dropped. We're going to talk about one specific. Mm-hmm. Doom Part 2.
Yep.
Fave thing we watched. And then, as mentioned, our Volume 3 Guardians of the Galaxy review. And we're going to get into the nitty gritty of the tier rankings. Going to be some hot takes, some things you disagree with. Yeah, that's why movies are great. They're subjective. And they can make you happy or they can make you upset. But hopefully they make you happy. But without further ado, Sweet Keeks is here. Tell us what's going on.
We've got the premiere for our feature film that we've been working on is set for the 24th and the 25th at Copper Hills High School. I will put a movie ticket link in the description so y'all can go buy tickets, help us sell out these screenings, 500 seats for each one. So that's a lot of people, but we're like, I think the auditorium fits like 1300. So like, I don't think we'll have 1300. So we'll just do 500 and, whoever shows up will show up, and we'll have a great time.
I'm there.
I am just really tired and overwhelmed with all the school stuff I've got to do. Got a lot of stuff to do. And just trying to keep my head afloat and get ready to take my certification classes. There's so much that I have to do. So I'm just trying to do my best. And I got a live stream graduation, so I got to do that. There's a lot there. There's a lot going on, but we're living. We're surviving.
When is Copper Hills graduation?
June 1st.
Okay. And you're going to that? Where is it at?
Yep. Maverick Center.
Oh,
which 50 Cent coming to do a 20-year anniversary of Get Rich or Die Trying, or I don't remember what his debut album is. Going to the Maverick Center. I probably will not attend, but I do like that album.
50 Cent is going to the Maverick Center?
Yeah. When was graduation? When was the last con? Not for graduation.
Did he go to Copper Hills?
Yeah. Big, noted Copper Hills supporter, 50 Cent.
Alumni. I was super confused. I was like, wait.
No, yeah. So I've just got a bunch that I'm doing, but I'm staying afloat. We're doing okay. I'm just, moving forward.
Hey, like they say, summer is coming.
Summer. Just like High School Musical too.
What's the certification? Like, is there a deadline?
I think registration starts like May 17th. So I got a bit of time. Okay. I've just got to make sure that, ready to rock and roll. I'm going to take like one or two. I'm going to start off taking one over the summer. And then if it feels like it's like, oh my gosh, it's so much, then, I'll space out the rest of my classes. But
what is the certification for again?
Teaching. I have to do an alternate licensure, and I have to take five teaching pedagogy, like how to teach and intro to special ed classes, stuff like that. So it's good. It'll be a good little good little thing.
Keep you busy during the summer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Love that. I'm doing well. I am going to be out of town. So next take, I will not be here. Fun movie club
next take.
Mm-hmm. And I am done with my master's program. Done.
Congratulations. That's a big thing.
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling ready. Ready to get that diploma through the mail. Ready to put the cap and gown on and walk through the living room. Call it good.
That's kind of nice, though. You don't have to leave anywhere, but you can at least put the cap and gown on.
So it's through Walden University, and they're having their graduation ceremony in Orlando. It's like really close to Disney World, which is kind of fun. That'd be kind of fun to go, but we're not going to go. So,
what's he saying? Okay. Could have been a nice way to, good excuse.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's do a fave trailer, fave movie news. Keeks, what's your fave trailer of the week?
That's Dune 2. Come on. We just got to talk about Dune 2.
Let's do
there's,
it.
I like, you know, I don't think there's a whole lot more to what we got going on, but we need it. We need Dune 2. The world needs it. That first movie did well, but I think this one, I don't think it makes a billion, but I think we get 750 million from it.
Oh, I think it's going to rock the box office. I think it's going to be top five this year. Easily.
Really?
I don't know. Easily is a stretch. That's because there is a lot of, like, we have Mario Brothers. We have Indiana Jones coming out. We have Mission Impossible. We have some pretty big blockbusters coming out here.
Mm-hmm.
But I think
these next few weeks are great.
Yeah, I think it could crack top five. Guardians probably might be top five after in the year.
I'm curious to see, like, what it's tracking to make this year. Or at least this week. Well, I guess
a lot of people are liking it, so I think that could help boost it with those positive reviews.
We called it. I don't want to sound like that guy. I don't want to sound like the "I told you so" guy. It's not necessarily an "I told you so," but it's like we knew it. It's really good. We'll talk more about it.
Yeah. So I think Dune Part 2. It looks amazing. It looks like a lot of fun new additions to the characters. I watched a video about like Skarsgård's character, Florence Pugh's character, and what they bring to the story. It wasn't really spoilery. It was just kind of like, hey, here's their background and here's what they're doing in this movie a little bit. So the trailer looks great. It didn't show too much. I loved that it showed him riding the worm there.
Yeah, how? Well, when they started it, I was like, ooh, are they going to do it? Are they going to show it? Are they going to show it? And then they show it at the end.
Yeah.
And so I'm not going to lie, it does look a little wonky visually, like VFX wise. Not terrible, but a little wonky.
Yeah. Well, that's Paul's Rite of Passage. And it's a trailer. I mean, go see it in theaters. It'll look better. And I'm still upset about Dune being released on HBO Max day of. I think that would have done even better in the theaters if that wasn't a dual release. I get it. It was 2021. We were kind of coming out of the woodworks. It's kind of a silver lining for me because I didn't like that aspect, but I also liked that aspect because I was able to watch it the next day with subtitles and I loved it.
Yeah. You know, so. It's, and then you look at, you know, what we'll be talking about today and them doing No Way Home exclusively in theaters. And it's, I read that there's only been like five post-pandemic billion-dollar movies, something like that. I feel like that's not right. Maybe it is.
I don't know what that would be. Yeah, Spider-Man No Way Home and then Top Gun Maverick.
Spider-Man No Way Home, Top Gun Maverick, Avatar.
Mario Brothers? Has they hit a billion, right?
Mario. And I don't know. I think there's got to be one more. Oh, Doctor Strange didn't do it. Yeah, there haven't been a ton. The Batman didn't. The Batman was like 700-something, 800-something.
So, yeah, Dune Part 2 looks great. There's a lot of new characters. I hope they take their time with it. I think this is going to be like a 2-hour, 45, potentially 3-hour long movie.
I do too.
Give it to us, please. Mm-hmm. There's another trailer that came out, Taika Waititi's Next Goal Wins. I think you and I feel a little indifferent about this. This looks fun. This looks like a return to form for Taika. Michael Fassbender, I don't know if he has a fake beard because it looks like it. His beard does not look good in that trailer. But this is an interesting role for him because he's been really quiet. I feel like Michael Fassbender has incredible range, but he's been, you and I have mentioned on the pod before, who's his agent? Because he has not been getting good roles. So hopefully
this is a reset.
Hopefully this is kind of a good reset for him.
Mm-hmm. I agree. No, I agree. And I think when it comes to like Taika, I think he can bring an interesting performance. The cast is very, very, what's it called? Looks super interesting. Looks fun. A lot of Polynesians. So, you know, I'm very excited about that. I don't know. After the stink that is Thor Love and Thunder, I feel super snake bit. And I know it's just one movie. Like, that shouldn't be enough. But it felt so terrible that it has made me stop and be like, what happened? Like, it is just an absolute anomaly, I guess, which is it's so weird and bad to me that he made the best and the worst Thor movies.
Yeah. Well, I think that goes to show, like, all of our favorite directors, all really good directors, have a stinker. They have a BFG. Yeah.
As you like to say. I love what you say. They all have a BFG.
Man, if that's not the truth.
That's one of my favorite Keeksisms there.
As every director has their BFG.
Yeah, or one of your favorite sayings. It's hilarious. Yeah.
Hey, I'm glad to provide some. I try to get some quips in here now and then. Yeah,
it's great. Okay, yeah. Fave thing we watched, I'll go first.
Okay.
We talked about it last time, about our Instagram mailbag, about what people were watching. Some people said Succession. Kelly and I have watched the first season of Succession. Ooh-wee. It's good. It's good, everybody. It is really that good.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad we're finally watching now, because our goal is to, like, just get caught up. We have, I think, 25 episodes left until we get caught up with, like, about 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks. So we can do it. I think we can do it.
Okay.
But, yeah, end of season one, you hate all these people, but you cannot not want to root for them in a weird way. It's like you want to root for them, and you try to pick who's the least vile person, but they all do, like, one person will do something, like, somewhat good, something redeeming, and they'll do 10 things terrible. And it's like a train wreck that you cannot keep your eyes off of. The dialogue is amazing. The acting's great. So we're in the ship. We're ready.
I'm excited to see you get to season two. Is fun. Season three is interesting. They're all great. They're all really good. Yeah, me and Becky are caught up, so obviously they're going to keep watching it. This episode six, as we're talking right now, episode seven hasn't aired, but episode six was just, like, I cringed so hard watching it. It was so good. It was very good. It. Yeah.
Who's your favorite character?
I just love Cousin Gray. You got to give it to the Disgusting Brothers. You'll get that reference as it goes on. But Cousin Greg and Tom Wamsgams, which, by the way, has to be a made-up name. I've never even heard of whiff of that being a last name ever. And yeah, I love Tom and Cousin Greg. They're a great dynamic duo. Some little Greglets out of the pig pen.
Greg, Tom is great. Like, the actor for Tom is phenomenal. All the acting is so good.
Yeah.
I would say after watching season one, my favorite is probably, I'm rooting for Kendall.
Mm-hmm.
I also hate him. But overall, like, I want Kendall to be the, like, I want him to be the boss. Like, I actually want him, because I feel like Kendall wants to do good, but he has so many slip-ups. And he's just, like, a jerk, and he's kind of a bro. But then he does something where I'm like, ah, man, you actually do want this. Like, I think you are trying your hardest. Roman's quips kill me, dude. I love how snappy he is.
I'm excited to see who you want to take over by the time season four starts, because I felt exactly like you did by the beginning. But, you know, like, by the end of season one. And then, you know, my opinions changed, and now... Yeah, it's kind of come back. I don't know. It's like it's for me, it feels like Love Island, where day to day, episode to episode, your just thoughts on each character are going to change all the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes you want Shiv. Like, part of me is like, Shiv is really the only one to me that feels like they could do the job.
Yeah, that's what we're getting into with season two a little bit, is kind of the Shiv for Shiv motivation. I think Shiv is the smartest one out of everybody. I think she's the one that has her head on her shoulders the best.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's good. So, yeah, that's been our favorite thing we watched.
Okay. My favorite thing that I watched is, you know, I'm a big believer that Martin Scorsese is the greatest living director from the United States. Right up there with Spielberg. I just think that Martin Scorsese's filmography is so, so interesting. He doesn't have the blockbuster. Like, I think his highest grossing film is Casino, maybe, at like $150 million or something like that. Something crazy. Yeah. Or maybe Wolf of Wall Street box. I'm going to look it up real quick. Wolf of Wall Street, actually, $406 million. Just pretty insane. But I watched Raging Bull this week. Yep. Man, it's so interesting. And it's like, I don't know why I made this parallel, but as I was watching it, the score really reminded me of The Wizard of Oz in some ways, you know, similar kind of like notes and sounds, and it felt like the evil, you know, like the polar opposite of Wizard of Oz, you know, this fantastical world that Dorothy experiences, and it's kind of like this dream world, whereas for Raging Bull, this extremely dark, like paranoid, cursed world that Jake LaMotta lives in. I have a student that always talks about Raging Bull and how much I got to see Raging Bull. And after seeing it, it's like, oh, this has like set the stage for like tortured, paranoid artists movies for like 45 years.
Wow.
It is. I for me, it's an A-plus suite. I've watched quite a few A-plus suites this year. I don't know if it's my favorite, because when I think about some of these other A-plus suites, it's like, can't wait to watch it again. This one, I'm not exactly like rushing out to watch again, but it is. It's on HBO Max. It's like 2 hours. So it's really not that bad, but the fight choreography is really, really interesting. Really brutal. A lot of slow shots. The opening is awesome, where you see him kind of dancing around the ring, and great story. Great story of this Jake LaMotta, like failed artist, you know, let his vices and his paranoia get the best of him.
I remember we did this for our sports movie bracket, and we had Raging Bull as a number two seed. Is it a sports movie or more of a drama?
Drama. There's some sports aspects to it, you know, but it's definitely a little bit more on the drama end. It has some of the best like sports scenes, though. Like some of like the boxing stuff is really, really cool.
Yeah, that's been on one of my to watch lists for so long. So got to get through that this year. Give me a good first time watch.
It's a big one. I'm watching. I've just started watching another like heavy hitter Best Picture winner that I don't know if you have seen, but I'll let you know when I watch it, when I finish it.
Okay. Give me a hint.
Western.
The Good, the Bad, the Ugly.
90s.
Mm.
You might not know the title of it off the top of your head.
Yeah.
Clint Eastwood.
Okay.
Yeah, that would have given it away. So it might just be one that you're not like super. And it's obviously it feels like one of the Best Picture winners that I didn't even really know was a Best Picture winner until just recently. Cause I'm not a big, I'm just really not a big Western guy. It's kind of the genre that I care the least about, that and period film, like period piece films, like Victorian era stuff. But that's more of like a sub genre. Westerns. Yeah.
Is it Unforgiven?
Sure is.
Okay. I don't know much about it.
Yeah, I don't either. I just know I read the other day one Best Picture, and it feels like one kind of want to just cross off the list, get it watched.
Yeah. Yeah. Got to have those.
Yeah.
All righty. Is it go time?
I wanted to real quickly touch on the favorite Star Wars movies from everyone, because it was May the 4th this week.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, yeah, let's do that. Let's get our mailbag for that.
We threw that out, and we got Riker Atherley _ says Revenge of the Sith. _ Landon _ Kirk _ Revenge of the Sith. Lazy Cook, OG, A New Hope, 801 Keenan Smart, number 4. Malcolm Hatfield, Empire, Jared 2, episode 9, LMAO JK. Lace Em Up Basketball, New Hope, Empire, Rogue One, Andor. All kind of similar vibes in those. House of the Stag _YT, Empire, Always Empire, Sprank Derv, Star Wars is for Movies. 4 and 8 are my faves. Ian K. Scott, Empire and Revenge of the Sith. Morgan Huntsaker, movie Revenge of the Sith, TV Andor. Michael Leichel, Star Wars Visions. Good answer. Yeah, I'm really excited to watch those new ones. Tan Ralph, Empire. Barbarica 53, movie. The original Theory of Nostalgia, but Rogue One broke my heart in the best way. It's a good one. Hayden Ship is Mando, Revenge of the Sith, and Rogue One. Kenna _Lee is episode 4. Brooks Dahmer is Phantom Menace because Darth Maul and pod racing. Then Bookworm _Lauren says the first 6 movies. We all know that mine's my favorite movie ever. It is Star Wars A New Hope. That is my favorite of them as well.
Man, there's a lot.
What do we think of those?
Oh, I think those are great. I love all the people and what they said, because Star Wars gets people going.
Mm-hmm.
It you know, everybody can talk about Star Wars and have input. I think most people will recognize the original trilogy is coined as their favorite, but I love seeing like different favorites in there. Like a couple of Last Jedis. Someone said a lot of Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah.
So the Revenge of the Sith is like my nostalgia boost, man. I still remember when I was in third grade, my brother was going to go see it and all his friends. And I was so upset that I wasn't going to go, but he came and checked me out of school to go watch it with his friends. It was like one of those moments that I'll never forget. Huge impact on my life.
Yep. That's top three for me. Mine's Star Wars, mine's A New Hope, Empire, then Revenge of the Sith. I saw that movie eight times in theaters. To give you a reference, I believe Revenge of the Sith came out like May something, like May 20 something, I think. My birthday is in August. I went to see Revenge of the Sith for my birthday in August.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's how much I love that movie.
What year did it come out?
2005, I believe.
Oh, okay, so psych. I was not in third grade. I was in sixth grade. That's right.
I was in sixth grade.
Yeah. Revenge of the Sith. I went opening night with my dad. May 19th is when it came out. And you know, it's you know, like when me and my mom went to go. You know, me and my mom and Becky went to go see Return of the Jedi last week. Theater was packed. When they re-release Star Wars: Revenge of the Sith in theaters,
there, I'm there.
It is probably gonna feel like an opening night of a blockbuster film.
They'll probably do it in 2025, right? Do a 20-year release.
You'd imagine. Yeah, that's when they'll do. Because they kind of sneakily tried to do what was it? They tried to do Phantom Menace in 3D, I believe, in like, gosh, it was a really weird year. It was really random. But like no one went and saw it. It wasn't really anything, obviously, because it's a Return of the, or you know, Phantom Menace. But I think if they were to do some prequel re-releases in theaters, especially Revenge of the Sith, oh my gosh, it would probably make like 20 million opening weekend.
Oh yeah, I would go watch it in theaters. Mm-hmm. I'd love to rewatch in theaters.
Oh yeah, I would.
And what's funny about when you said Return of the Jedi, I had a coworker that was just like, Star Wars is meant to be watched in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
My top three is Empire Strikes Back, Revenge of the Sith, and A New Hope. Honestly, Revenge of the Sith and New Hope kind of just exchange each other, depending on the day. So yeah, those are my three.
It's just love seeing that everyone's general consensus is those originals and the prequels. And then I didn't see any 7 or 9, but I saw a couple 8. So 8 has always been one that, again, I've had to freaking defend that movie since it first came out, man. It is takes a lot of emotional, you know, it takes an emotional toll on me. Not the worst Star Wars movie. It's not the best one. It's not the worst one. We all got to calm down about it.
I agree. Mm-hmm. It is growing on me over recent years. So yeah. There is your Star Wars takes, everybody. Thanks for submitting in. Hopefully it was a great May the 4th. Go listen to our recent May the 4th episodes. That was a blast when we did that, by the way, especially our first one. The original trilogy was my favorite.
2020, we did a lot of like kind of, movies aren't coming out. What do we do?
Oh, we did Star Wars. We did Lord of the Rings. We did Harry Potter. We dedicated
March Movie Madness.
2020 was actually a really fun year for the pod.
We did merch that year. Man, which, by the way, it's all gone.
All gone.
All of the merch is gone. All of the merch is gone.
Thank you, everybody.
Yep. Thank you to my students that were like, I want a shirt. I was like, take a shirt. Take whatever shirt you want. So we got the rest of them. Call to action from me. Hey, I'm going to give a call to action because you normally do. If you are ordering merchandise for yourself, don't order smalls and mediums. Just focus on large, extra large, double XL.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's just the world we live in. No one's a small or a medium. And children and are.
Yeah. And people want to wear like a large loose shirt normally. Mm-hmm. Normally. I don't like my shirts tight.
No, sir. A little too body conscious. Not terribly, but a little bit. I like a little bit more of a baggy fit.
I like a baggy fit too. It makes me feel comfortable. So, okay. Great call to action, everybody. Let's do it. You ready?
Directed by David.
Whoa. Let me cue the music.
There's no music. I don't hear any music.
It'll come through.
I don't know. I couldn't hear it, so I don't think it will come through.
Maybe not. It was hooked on a feeling. So
if
it
doesn't come through,
then it doesn't come through. But yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 review. Let's do it.
James Gunn, written and directed. He wrote and directed it. Guardians have been living on nowhere for some time, and when a blast from Rocket's past comes back to claim his creation, the Guardians must race in order to save Rocket and also save worlds. Not the entire galaxy, but some different like planets and galaxies. So it was really interesting. Here's the thing. Here's what this does, okay? I'm going to give kind of my thoughts right now. One, if you're a DC fanboy like I am, you are stoked for the future of DC because this was a great comic book movie. It was a lot of fun and a really, really good movie. Two, you also, for Disney, you just set yourself up. You gave everyone a little bit more time to be like, okay, that was good. We're back in on some of these. But if these next two movies, if Secret Invasion, Loki, the Marvels, if these are not good, I think Marvel needs to really look at who they're hiring to make these films. Yes. And lock down some really good directors, some creatives, get James Mangold's in there. I don't know, see if you can get anyone else that can make a creative film, because this does not feel like a Marvel movie, mainly because there's a director that knows what they want to do with this film.
Yeah, for our next movies, I'll go through it real quick. We have The Marvels, November 10th.
Mm-hmm.
We have Captain America New World Order for May 3rd, 2024.
Don't care.
Thunderbolts, July 26th, 2024.
Don't care.
And Blade.
Oh. Did you just see who's writing it?
Who?
The writer of True Detective.
Oh.
Nick Pizzolatto or whatever his last name is.
That's huge. So
that's I saw that and I'm like, I'm back in on Blade. That's a huge get.
So Blade and Captain America New World Order are the two that stick out to me that I'm like, I want to see that. I'm like, I'm getting excited for mainly Blade. Mm-hmm. The Marvels, that trailer looks okay. I will go see it. There, mm-hmm. looks like they're changing Brie Larson into a little bit of a Thor kind of goofy, is from what I picked up on the trailer.
Yeah,
which I think she needs that. She needs to have a little bit of sense of humor. She was too, I'm Captain Marvel. Like, I can do this. So hopefully they make
a little bland.
Yeah. So anyways, those are your next movies. But yeah, I agree, Keeks. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, it ropes you back in. You're like, okay, cool. MCU is back. Is it back? We'll see. But yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. DC is in good hands. This takes everything that Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one did, and everything that the second one did. I need to rewatch the second one. That's what also Volume 3 made me do. It makes me rewatch the second one because I remember I didn't like that as much.
All right, technical difficulties, but we are back. Okay, so Guardians, great direction, feels like an actual movie. There's color, there's life, there's style. There's some flair, but to how much is this going to do it for everyone? I guess is maybe the question. To stick around.
I think it will prolong some people to stick around and watch, but I think also people probably be sad that James Gunn is leaving, because if you're a Marvel fan, but if you're a DC fan, like we mentioned, they're going to be really excited. But I agree. This is a Guardians movie that I was not expecting to feel so much emotion with. It does have some source material that can really, have people feel that emotion, especially if you have, you know, a pet or something like that, because there were moments where I'm like, oh my gosh, like this feels just like my dog Honey, like in this moment, like those eyes of Rocket and the snout, I'm like, oh my gosh, like that looks just like Honey. I was like, that kind of made me sad about some of the animal cruelty images. And it's so funny because they're just CGI animals. They're all CGI, but it's still like, yeah, you feel bad. You're like, oh, that's sad. But here we are eating hamburgers.
I just had a nice chicken sandwich before coming up here. You know, and a part of me kind of wonders, like, is it kind of a manipulative plot device to get you to care about the characters? Like, it would be great if we felt this way about any of the other characters, but of course we're going to feel it for the cute animals getting tortured in a cage by this maniac. So. Yeah. But I don't think that takes away from it, because I think a lot of like how it's structured, I think it blows by really quickly. I had a lot of fun. Some of the plot points like near the end are kind of silly, because it's like all based on misunderstanding. And it's like, Y'all don't have like a walkie-talkie system? Like, you don't have anything like that before going down? You know, you live in space and you live in a rocket ship that's out of a celestial's head, but you don't have just like two-way radios to communicate when you go onto this massive planet.
Yeah, I would say the one sequence, like when I think about that, I was like, that didn't really vibe for me as much as maybe it did for others, is when they go into like that skin like sanctuary building place. And they're wearing, and all the like security officers have those weird body suits. That sequence wasn't as fulfilling as the other ones. That kind of felt like it lagged a little bit for me. I would say that's the only time where I was like, okay, I feel like this is kind of having a little bit of a pace issue. So that was my only really gripe for like the pacing of the movie and kind of when I wasn't as interested in other parts. But I loved the character development of each characters. Like, I loved Gamora in this. Nebula might have been my favorite Nebula ever in this. She was actually a joy. And Drax was great. Drax is always great. He always has a great comment. So,
yeah.
And it also felt like Star-Lord wasn't the main character. Like, everybody kind of had their time to shine. And more so Rocket, obviously, with his backstory and whatnot.
Yeah, it's true. I think that, especially when it comes to those main Guardians that we've known the whole time, they all have great moments. Whereas the newer ones like Cosmo and... I don't even know what that other guy's name is. The guy with the Mohawk.
Yeah. Let me pull it up real quick. It's on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah. I don't. And that's exactly, you know, that further proves my point. They don't do anything for probably 2/3 of this movie. They're present in the beginning. They kind of have little moments to remind you that they're still around in the middle. And then at the end, they're somewhat present.
Yeah. It's Kraglin.
Kraglin. And that's not to say that they don't have their own moments, which they do. It's just they don't really do too much. I think if you took them out. But here's the thing, though. Even if you took them out, actually, you know, it would affect the story. So they serve purposes. It's just, you know, they don't get a whole lot to do.
Yeah. Yeah. So I love Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. There were some scenes that is totally worth the admission into the movie that were an absolute blast. I love the final act. There's that corridor scene. It's slow-mo, everything like just flows really well together. So cool. And
it rocks. I can't imagine
Was it Beastie Boys that they were playing right there at that moment?
I don't remember.
I forgot the song. The only song I really remember that I've been on repeat is Florence and the Machine, Dog Days Are Over.
Yeah.
That made me feel things.
That was a great ending.
That made me just so happy for this crew. And I love that song. It's been on repeat. A great way to kind of close off the trilogy. And another side note is Adam Warlock, perfectly fine with his screen time.
I had no issues with it either. It just kind of gets lumped into like the characters you don't know very well don't have a lot to do. And it's like, well, for me, that's not a huge gripe because I hope that the Guardians get the most time. The movie's named after them.
Yeah, for sure. So Will Poulter is great, but I thought he was going to be more of a major component because it kind of sets that up for volume two. But his screen time was just great.
Yeah. I'd be curious to see what this was going to look like when they probably wanted to do volume three. I would imagine that had they had their choice, it probably would have come out like 2 years ago, but because he was fired and then he was working on the Suicide Squad, then they brought him back, you know, delayed this one a bit.
Yeah. Dave Bautista was very vocal about that fire. Apparently. He was like, I'm not coming back on if James Gunn's not back on. Like, he was very much like, James Gunn needs to be back here or I'm out.
Yeah. So I give it an A suite. I really do think that it's one of the best. It's the best Marvel movie for me since Infinity War, I'd say.
Wow. Now,
and that'll go to, you know, Spider-Man No Way Home coming into play. Because I think Spider-Man No Way Home is a lot of fun, but I do think that this is a better movie than Spider-Man No Way Home.
Yeah, I have a hard time disagreeing with that because Spider-Man No Way Home had great fan service moments, but I would almost rather rewatch Guardians Volume 3 than Spider-Man No Way Home.
Yeah, I we'll see how much this ages. I'm going to stick to it, though. I think this is a better movie. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm itching to rewatch it again kind of a thing, whereas like Spider-Man No Way Home, I might. But like technicality and style-wise, this is a better film for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I still think I have Spider-Man No Way Home just edged out a little over Guardians Volume 3 for me, personally. Okay. But Volume 3, I'm going to give it an A suite as well. Had a blast. Early screening was so fun, and this was exactly what I wanted this movie to be. Care for the characters, good emotion, and great humor.
Yep. Okay. Are we ready for our tier list?
Woo!
Okay. So we are sticking a lot with our guns here, okay? We all know that we do a sweet, sour, spoiled to help along with kind of the should you watch it. You know, the grade scale is for technicality, for is it good, kind of more objective, whereas Sweet Sour Spoiled is a little bit more on the subjective side. And then for this, obviously we have from spoiled, sour, sweet, we also have the upper highest region, which is the Steve-O, aka the GOAT region. So we've got four tiers here. We're going to go in order from, you know, Iron Man all the way to Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
So real quick, with the Steve-O GOAT region, and for all those listeners that don't know who Steve-O is, Steve-O is like one of our great friends, and we always call him the GOAT, just because he is. And
also, as a side note, follow srod_1993 on all social media platforms.
Yeah, he's the guy.
He never posts, but just give him a follow.
Yeah. For Steve-O tier, are we putting more than one movie in there, or is it just one that goes in there?
So with Fun Movie Club, we did just only do one, and I'd be willing to do that. Let's do it. We got to determine what our GOAT is, which I think we both know what our GOAT is, but you know, we'll
talk about it when we get there.
Yeah, we sure will. Okay.
Let's start with phase one.
Iron Man. It's got to go sweet.
Yep. But Iron Man and sweet.
Okay. The next one.
The Incredible Hulk. I would put that in sweet. However, I'd probably put it more so in sour.
Like I put it in sour.
Okay. The Incredible Hulk goes in sour. I mean, who has rewatched The Incredible Hulk?
I haven't. And I've rewatched that Ang Lee one. Ooh, yeah. Then that for me is kind of like, is it spoiled then? Like, I have no desire to rewatch it. Doesn't do anything for me. I think that's more of the spoiled end.
See, I would rather put it in sour. Like, a part of me does want to rewatch it, but let's put it in spoiled. Let's go ahead. Let's do it.
It's going spoiled. All right, next one. Iron Man 2. That's spoiled.
Yep, I agree.
Okay.
Thor. Thor is sweet for me. I think the first Thor actually gets a lot of hate that it doesn't deserve.
There's Iron Man 2. Okay, Iron Man. Thor, I don't know. I think really three of these four Thor movies are... I'd be willing to put Thor in sour.
I want to put it in sweet.
Oh, you do? Let's do it.
Let's put it in sweet. I think it just
With Iron Man, though?
Okay, let's put it in sour.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I think we got to look at Iron Man and be like, okay, that's our sweet right now. Does Thor deserve to be in there with Iron Man? I don't think so.
Okay, that's a good perspective.
I will say, though, Captain America, the first Avenger, I would give that a sweet. I like that first one.
See, I'm on the other side of sour. I think it's kind of a boring movie.
Okay.
It's a good introduction to Steve Rogers.
I haven't seen it in a while. Red Skull is a really Hugo Weaving, cool character, cool guy.
I think the last time I watched it was 3 to 4 years ago.
Wasn't doing it for you?
It didn't move the needle as much for me as like Iron Man.
I'm cool with sour.
Let's put it in sour.
Cool with that. Yeah. Okay, and then to round out phase one, we have the Avengers.
Sweet. This is sweet.
Yeah, it kind of changed the game, basically. Yeah. Like, Avengers is one of those, like, generational, holy crap, like, that worked kind of a thing.
And maybe I'm being too hard on Captain America, the first Avenger.
No, but I think you got to look at, like the sweets. Look what we have at sweet right there. Captain America, the first Avenger is going to feel like a bottom tier version of what sweet could be.
Yeah. Okay. I agree.
And this further proves my theory of in all of these phases, you have two great movies and like four that you're just kind of okay with.
Yeah. And to preface this ranking and tier ranking, sour is not like a bad thing. Like, I don't think Captain America the First Avenger is a bad movie. Mm-hmm. It's just not as good compared to Iron Man and the Avengers.
Yeah, exactly. Like, all of these, if we were to like technically grade them, they're like all sweet. They're all somewhat worth your time and fun.
I'd probably give the lowest grade I'd give here is probably Iron Man 2 and the Incredible Hulk, probably at like a C+ or C.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Yeah.
Okay. So now we get into phase two.
Phase two, we start off with Iron Man 3.
Can I be really honest?
Yeah.
I think it's a sweet.
I kind of want to lead towards sour, but I remember when I did watch Iron Man 3, I did enjoy it. So I'm down with that. I'm down for sweet. Let's put it sweet.
Shane Black, I think the story's interesting. What they did with the Mandarin, most people hate, but I think is really funny.
It is funny. And Iron Man actually has like some PTSD. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting scope. Thor: The Dark World.
Fun fact, I watched it for the first time on Saturday night. It's the only Marvel movie I'd never seen because I don't have Disney Plus and I'm not looking to subscribe to it anytime soon. I bought it. So I paid $4. I just need to get someone's login, to be honest.
Yeah, get our login. I'll send it to you.
I was gonna ask, but I was like,
I need your HBO Max login after we're done with our subscription. We paid the full year, so.
Oh, for HBO Max?
Yeah, it'll charge us again in September, but I already like canceled it, so we have it until September.
Yep, I'll hook you up. We've got like 4 people on it.
Perfect, and then you have my Peacock, and you'll have my Disney Plus, so we're good.
Perfect.
Thor: The Dark World spoiled. This is first act, like you and I just mentioned. It's interesting, but after that, it just gets boring.
Boring.
Okay, Captain America: The Winter Soldier. This is sweet for me. This is like my top five MCU movies.
It's sweet. It is
very
sweet.
Absolutely,
it is.
Guardians of the Galaxy. Sweet.
Sweet. Wow. What a. That's. I remember seeing posters up for this movie in Chile, and I was like, "Ooh!" Always being like, "This looks cool." And then when I came home and saw it, I was like, "Oh yeah, it's freaking cool."
Cool. Avengers: Age of Ultron. I actually think this is sweet for me. I like
it. Me too.
Thank you. I had a great time with Avengers. And every time I rewatch it, I always have a blast.
Yeah, I did too. I have a great time with it.
Okay. On to Ant-Man.
I don't know. I lean towards sour.
I lean towards sour too. Like I can't in good conscience put Ant-Man sweet with Guardians of the Galaxy, Winter Soldier.
It's fun to look at these. We had four sweets and two not very good. So a better than average phase, I think.
Oh, yeah. Phase two is solid. So Ant-Man is sour. On to phase three. This is stacked. Phase three, there are 11, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 movies in phase three in the span of 3 years. Ooh.
Sheesh.
Okay. Starting off.
You know my opinion. My opinion on Civil War, I know it is not a popular opinion. I think it's spoiled. I do not like this movie. Didn't like it when we came out of it. I've never cared for Civil War.
You didn't like this when we came out of it? I swear you liked this movie when we came out.
Love it.
In Kansas City.
No, didn't love it. I remember feeling like pretty like, didn't love it. It looked bland. The story's okay, but like some of the villainy stuff, I don't super dig. I don't love the whole plot of like the superhero registration stuff. Feels so stupid to me. So I don't know. I've always had it at spoiled, but.
My gosh, I disagree with you. I think it's sweet. I think this is one of the better MCU movies. Like I love that it's contained within our superheroes that fight each other. And you just have a guy who's just manipulating, playing mind games with Bucky and Iron Man and Captain America. It has great introductions with Spider-Man, Black Panther. I think you're out. I think you're out of your realm with Civil War, dude. I'm kind of shocked you think it's spoiled.
Okay. Well, if I'm looking at it, I'm willing to bump myself up to sour. But right, as I look at it here.
I guess we'll meet in the middle for this, but I think it's sweet.
Okay.
This is going to be the one that I just totally disagree with you on.
We'll compromise on some of these other ones, I'm sure.
Okay, I guess this one's sour.
And you know, maybe we'll adjust it, but I don't know. I've never really loved it. Doctor Strange, it goes to spoiled.
Yeah, I can get on board with that.
Don't love Doctor Strange.
Yeah, it's a fine introduction, but it's like you watch it once, you're good.
Guardians 2.
I kind of want to put it towards spoiled, but I also, like I mentioned, I do want to rewatch this after seeing volume 3. Maybe I'll like it even more.
I remember leaving volume 2, though, and both of us being like, didn't love that one.
Yeah, let's put it in spoiled.
Yeah, spoiled.
Spider-Man Homecoming, for me, is a sour.
I lean more spoiled. But, yeah, I could be willing to put it in sour. I don't know what, and maybe it's because, you know, our MCAT has always hated this movie, and I don't know if that's bled into me, but I don't know. There's something about
when I left Spider-Man Homecoming, I was like, meh, that was not what I was hoping to be. And then I've rewatched it, and it still is kind of stuck with me of being like, meh, let's put in Spoiled. Let's do it.
Let's do Spoiled. Okay.
Because Far From Home is better, and I'd like to put Far From Home in a sour, sweet position when we get there. We'll talk about it.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Thor Ragnarok next. Sweet.
Sweet. Yeah. Got to go up there. Yeah. Yeah. Thor Ragnarok. Black Panther.
Sweet.
Yeah. Sweet.
It's grown. That one's grown.
Another game changer. Okay. Infinity War.
Here we go. This is the Steve-O. This is the GOAT.
This is our Steve-O. Yep. This is what we've wanted. This was both of our favorite movies of 2018.
Yeah, Avengers Infinity War is a culmination of everything, of all these movies that came before it.
It's a perfect blockbuster for me. It is so interesting. I've rewatched it 4 times. Like, it is the most rewatchable Marvel movie for me.
You have a great bad guy, and you have all your ragtag superheroes together, and all the interactions work great. Okay, Keeks, I'm glad you like Avengers Infinity War this much. I know you have, but this makes the lessening of the blow of Civil War a little bit better.
Okay, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Spoiled.
Spoiled.
Wow, could not care less about a movie.
Captain Marvel, Spoiled.
It's Spoiled. Yeah, I don't have any opinion on that one.
Avengers Endgame, I would say sweet.
I would also say sweet.
Caps it off well.
Does a pretty good job.
Spider-Man Far From Home is probably a sour for me. Like,
I lean for sour as well.
It's sweet for me, but it's also sour. I would say sour.
I don't know why, man. These first two Spider-Man movies are okay, but I do remember leaving being like, oh, like a little underwhelmed, mostly because those first two Raimi Spider-Man movies are like some of the all-time greats. And then to see these be a little bit more middling is frustrating.
Yep. That's your end of phase 3 on to phase 4. Starting off with your first Marvel movie in 2 years is Black Widow. Black Widow is Spoiled.
Let's just rattle them off right now. We got Black Widow. Shang-Chi.
Sweet. It's sweet.
Yeah. Eternals is Spoiled.
Eternals is Spoiled.
Yep.
Spider-Man No Way Home. Sweet.
Sweet. Yep. Sweet.
Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Keeks, I want to put it in sweet.
You do? Oh, great. I do too. I love this movie. Yeah, I love this one. Oh, thank goodness. Okay. Cool.
Thor, Love, and Thunder. I'm the minority in this. I thought this was kind of fun. It's dumb. I do recognize that I am the minority. I'm fine to put this in Spoiled. I know that's what the consensus is.
I think it goes Spoiled. So, bam, bam, it would go right in here and Spoiled. Okay, so right now we have tied in the sweet and the Spoiled. Not a lot of sours.
Black Panther, Wakanda Forever is the next one. Sour. I would say sour.
Yep, that goes into sour.
Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. Spoiled.
You know that it's a Spoiled when I didn't even know that And the Wasp was in the title until I got to the movie theater. Yeesh. And it's no one's fault. It's just no one cares about Ant-Man. I don't care about Ant-Man at all.
Yeah, he's a supporting character. He belongs with those Avenger movies.
Yep. Keep him out.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 as our last most recent MCU movie release. We just talked about it. Sweet.
Yep, definitely sweet. So it looks like it's about evil. It's about even.
All aboard?
For sweet and Spoiled.
Wow.
Sour, we have, it looks like, probably 6 entries. I think sweet, we have 13 entries. And I think Spoiled, we also have around 13. And then we've got our GOAT.
Infinity
Over
War.
13 and Spoiled.
Okay. I think that's a good tier.
Yep. And these are just the movies. Obviously, we could have thrown in the TV shows. I haven't seen all of them, and I don't think most people have seen all of them, but I know that people have definitely, like, probably seen close to all the movies.
Yeah. Yeah. No, MCU needs to just be movies that we've talked about before, but 32 movies. And how many are sweet for us? 13, you said?
Yeah, I think it's 13.
13. And then we have Steve-O as the GOAT for 14. That's half. Half of those MCU movies are, like, very, very sweet that we collaborated on. We had a few disagreements.
Yeah, that's true. And like, to be honest, I would probably move Shang-Chi a little bit more down to the sour, because I think that third act is just generic third act with CGI creatures and green screen.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, that bus scene is a sweet alone for me.
And like the what's it called? And like the rooftop scene where they're on like the scaffolding.
Oh, and Awkwafina is really funny in that movie.
Yeah, and Trevor. I like how they bring Trevor back. From a sweet Iron Man 3. I'm so glad that you were willing to put Iron Man 3 out there, because I remember leaving it being like, I liked this a lot.
Yeah, that killed in the box office. I would say overall, all the 32 MCU movies, I would say I can count on probably one hand. Yeah, no more than that. Probably like 7 to 10 movies where I'm like, I was fine watching that one time. I'm good. That's it. Like, I don't really want to revisit this again.
Mm-hmm.
So, but all the other ones I really do like. Like, even the ones that we put in sour, I'm like, that's still like a fine watch.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. But I think our spoiled are like pretty volume 2, you know, make people, and like Spider-Man, having Spider-Man down there, people might disagree, but I don't know. I'm just not super big, not huge on those.
Yeah. Well, we'll post this to the Instagram, so yeah, we can have everybody sound off in the comments what you agree and disagree with.
Yeah, seriously. So, next week we're gonna do some Beau's Afraid. We're gonna do some How to Build a Pipeline. We're gonna do some smaller releases to give y'all a little bit more of the indie vibe. Look at some things that have been coming out, so that we can give you some new movies that you want to go check out. Stuff that's coming to VOD. Saw Evil Dead Rise, which I really liked. We'll talk about that too. Yeah, we've got some fun ones that we're gonna chat about. Enjoy your vacation.
I will. I'm excited. And after, when I get home, we will talk about Fast X.
Wow. This movie is not, there's no way this movie is good. I've seen no promotion for it.
Feels like an F9. I think it might be, maybe it's going to be, I feel like it's going to be just like F9, which is a bummer.
Yeah, I think it might be worse. I think it might be the worst one since Tokyo Drift.
Yeah.
And that's a long time ago. That was like 15 years ago almost.
That's a bummer. Those F5 through like those F5, F6, F7 were like, all three were pretty fun. Yeah. And even F8 I would include was
five through Hobbs and Shaw, I would even say like are like fun and worth your time.
Yes. Okay. Take 233, everybody. Thanks for being here. Have a great week and stay sweet.
So sweet. And happy year anniversary to us. Sweet.
Oh. Sweet.
Yeah, sweet.